grain of rice. A grain of rice. Going to tip the scale. Just remember that,
then. That small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hi, folks. How are you all doing? You're welcome along to another Examiner hurling show. Difference being tonight, we're on a Sunday night. The sun is shining out in the outside us here. There's a stream of traffic going back from where I am, back from Kilkee, back to Limerick. I know they're not supposed to come outside the county, TJ, but we're supposed to be a bit of we let you off, I suppose, in the current situation. Very dark behind you there as well, TJ, because obviously he's roasting hot sunshine coming in over the Galties there on top of him, so we have to adjust a bit for that.
Peter can't call into the loser.
I know, that's the way you'll be thinking now. Hopefully, a few weeks, TJ, we'll have the old umbrellas out and we'll be nabbing a few of them anyway, coming back. Delighted, Marcus here as well, but delighted to be joined this week. Although, he's just after reminding me that he doesn't have a great record when he's on this show, but delighted to welcome back All-Ireland referee from last winter. The referee, the most amazing All-Ireland final, I suppose, that myself and himself were privileged to be inside the ground that day. Also referee in 17, obviously, Fergal Horgan. Fergal, how are you?
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, it's great to be heading down the road again to the first league match since the last time I was with you. March 11th last year, we no league match since, so it's hard to imagine 14 or 15 months later to be our next league match. We never thought that Monday before Cheltenham of last year, but listen, it's going to be a magnificent league, we hope. The conditions are going to be the best league conditions played for many a year, and let's let the games begin.
Yeah, Fergal, if there's any sign of a new strain or anything tomorrow or Tuesday, we won't be able to have you on the show anymore because it's too much of a coincidence. How we doing, lads? How we doing, Mark?
Very good, yeah, I don't know. Great format, and delighted that Fergal is on with us this evening. There's a lot of water under the bridge since the last time we spoke. I suppose the Queen is after coming in again, the darling of the podcast. So, but you were on this time, of course. See the smile on your face, like, yeah. I see that, yourself and TJ. You have to send in a few quid down my way, yeah? Nah, no chance, of course, yeah.
I tell you, if ever I was hoping there'd be a pub allowed to be open, it was last Sunday evening, like, and the ball of money from the Queen.
Yeah. Well, she did it well now, to be fair, and she got a great ride from Joey Sheridan, which is, and that was a Champions weekend, so there's 15 grand for the first prize, which is away 50% more than it normally is, but it was great that for Ken Buds and everybody involved. There's a few here watching it now, and the kids were watching this Mafflin match. It was roaring at the television, as well. It was, I suppose, with about 50 yards to run, like, but no, she's mighty now, in fairness. She only got £3, and the handicapper there on the top right-hand corner would probably tell you whether she has a chance of winning again.
Well, what's the call, teacher?
Well, in Mark's case, right, so Dilla, she's got 3 handicap marks, right? So she's handicapped in the all-weather in Dundalk, right? She's handicapped over hurdles, right? So she's won in Dundalk, and she's won over hurdles. But believe it or not, Dilla, her lowest handicap mark, right, is on the turf in the flat. So she could run on grass between here and maybe Galway, I'd say on a nice dry day with good ground. She's rated 53, Mark. I would say over a mile and a half, get on.
She'd be a certain DJ. Would
you go to Galway with her?
You'd have to be thinking that way now, Mark. She's got 2 nice races, won, but I'd say off 53, mile and a half, good pilot up, I'd be happy to plough in.
Yeah. There's a nice ladies' race there. I think the Cora, later on in the year, the ladies' race over a mile and a half. She might appreciate a good long straight. I think Galway track is fairly, it's a bit like Tremore, I suppose, where she won a short head, but.
Correct.
Yeah, I better pass that through the stewards there and see when we get the nod.
Fair play. It's nice to have a horse with all those options anyway, and few of our.
And of course, and Daylord. Dale, just before we go away from it now, since the last time we spoke, your old buddy Josie Mourinho and got the P45 and you lost the Carabao Cup. So, I mean, you're not getting off that light tonight.
Jeez, I'm only after an hour after the Carabao Cup. Like, will you give me a break? Will you, like, you know, jeez. But just go to show
one nil.
A manager is a manager, whatever. Like, and, but like, Sissoko and these fellas, like Eric Dyer, just not good enough, like. If you're going to keep playing them fellas, no matter who's in charge, the same mistakes and occur. But anyway, we keep it hurling as much as we can.
Who's getting the job at Spurs then?
I don't know. If they could tempt your man away from Leicester to be huge, which you'd be saying, why would you be leaving Leicester to go to Spurs at the moment, Rogers?
Roy Keane is available, yeah. Della.
I wouldn't put him over Katie Berry. just like the rugby now, there'd be no more mentions of that man on this show. I suppose, Fergal, the main reason I reached out to you myself there was just a month ago now, our first show of the year. We went rabbiting on about rules and regulations and the new trial rules for a year. But it's no good calling them trial, because you could win or lose the All-Ireland final over one of these rules. So they're there, as far as we know, anyway, for the year. And I suppose your good buddy Johnny Ryan was first on to me anyway. You haven't a clue what you're talking about with those rules. So I said we better address it. No offence now, Johnny, but we said we'd go for Fergal if he was available. But I listened back to it actually this morning, Fergal. I suppose we were rabbiting on a bit about, you know, a lad bearing down on goal anywhere inside the 21. It's a straight yellow, black card, and he's off, and it's a penalty, weren't we, TJ? We were sort of, you would have very bad for it, TJ. You actually said it would be a recipe for disaster, the whole thing. So it's just interesting. We're the best ref in the country, TJ. So
we do, yeah, we do. In fairness, struggle.
We get his take on it, but you were very strong that day, TJ. You thought it was what's cynical, not cynical.
First of all, Fergal, I have made peace with all referees all around the country, so we're all on great terms. Just so you know, right? And
second, that's the first lie, anyway.
Yeah, we made a super job in the Ireland final last year. Fergal, my issues here are around what is a clear and obvious goal score chance, and is that going to make life difficult for you guys in the spur of the moment? Like, it is difficult, like with a good ball, a good pass, bad pass, like can make the difference. So, was there a goal on or was there not a goal on? That's kind of where I was coming from, really.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's a few things, I suppose, that you need to address. Well, first of all, there's no black card, okay? So, there'll be no card.
Yeah.
It's going to be a yellow card, and the referee will go for a penalty, the usual penalty signal, and he'll be pointed to the line. So, there's no extra card coming in. There's no black book or no black card. So, it's just a yellow card. And the player the referee will tell the player that you're now in a sin bin for 10 minutes. So there won't be any extra card. That's very important. That was said the last night about a black card. There's no black card, okay? And the clear and obvious scoring chance is not in the ruling either. Okay, the ruling is very clear. You know, it's just a goal scoring opportunity. It's not clear, and I suppose the big thing about it is it's only the referee that's on duty on the day can call whether it's a sin bin and a penalty or not. So it's completely up to him. And you're right, will that cause confusion for different referees on different days? Yes, the answer will be it will be for a few weeks in the National League, because this is a year like no other year in the fact that most of the referees on the 8th of May, 9th of May, will have no match refereed since November last year, which is 6 months. We have no National League, we have no Harty Cup, we have no Fitzgibbon Cups, we have no even inter-county challenge matches. Normally, I'd have five or six challenge matches done heading into the National League, okay? So no referee. I refereed the All-Ireland on the 13th of December. I haven't put a whistle to my mouth since. So my first appointment, whether it's on the line or refereeing the 8th or 9th of May, will be the first game I've officiated that since the All-Ireland final under the new rules. So that's going to bring its own challenges, obviously. And the sin bin obviously brings an extra challenge in the fact that we haven't had a chance to sit down, go through a few matches. We'll say if it was trial in the league, we might have a look at it. Or if it's given cup or something, but it hasn't been. So, yeah, TG, you're right to a certain extent. It's going to be a challenge. It's something that the referees are going to have to come to terms with quickly in the National League, okay? But I think it's very important for listeners and the media and managers and players, etc. While the players have had 3 or 4 weeks to hone their skills on the field, hurling-wise, and have probably trained singly since Christmas, the referees have not been able to do that. Okay, we've been able to run around the fields and train on our own, but as regards sharpness, the only tool we have in our book is matches and sharpness, and that's going to be an issue.
Well, Fergal, to go back to the new rule, right? So are you saying that it is kind of the referee's discretion really whether the goal scoring chance is there or not? And is that the only difference between a normal yellow card and, let's say, the same bin and the penalty? So it's only if there's a goal on.
It's in the opinion of the match referee on the day, if he thinks it was a goal scoring opportunity, and it must be inside the 20-meter line and in the semicircle. Okay, he has to take a few things into consideration. How many defenders are between him and the goal line? Could someone else come across and block him? But these are all a matter of opinion, and they're only opinion of defenders in charge on the day. Nobody else.
It's interesting there. So the semicircle is included, because we had a long debate about a cynical free being awarded, we say, out by the sideline, Fergal. So so like the semicircle is definitely included. So just can we kind of clarify, we say out by the sidelines and stuff like that, if there was a cynical free, you know, I suppose most, you were very strong in this, that it wouldn't be a goal scoring opportunity if it was out by the sidelines. So Fergal, what's your opinion? Like, or should there be an extra line, a bit like soccer now, just that a penalty is awarded inside the box, and you know there's a vacant bit of space from the box out to the sideline? Should the GAA be looking at something like that, to make it easier for the referee?
No, I think we've enough lines on the field, to be honest about it, and the less rules that we bring in my opinion, I think the game of hurling is in a very good position, in a very good place. Okay, obviously last year there was a bit of cynical fouls. There was probably more so than other years, but was that because of the time of year we played in as well? You know what I mean? It brings around different winter hurling. You know what I mean? It maybe it did, maybe it doesn't. To answer your question, if a corner forward gets the ball on the sideline inside the 20-meter line, and he rounds the player, right? Why will the player pull him down if he doesn't feel it's a goal scoring opportunity? So in my opinion, that if the corner forward is capable of rounding his man at any stage inside the 20-meter line and he can lose his marker, at the level we're operating at, any corner forward, and Anthony has played centre back, wing back, and TG played at both ends of the field, Mark, and you played wing back, midfield. You know yourself the calibre of player you're dealing with nowadays. The TG Rees, the Joe Cannings, the Aaron Gillans, all these men are capable of scoring. If they can swing their hurley anywhere inside the 20-meter line, these boys are capable of putting the ball in the back of the net. So the question I'd ask is, if the defender doesn't feel he's under pressure, why will he pull him down inside the 20-meter line? And in my opinion, if the player is going inside the man and he's pulled down inside that 20-meter line deliberately, in my opinion, it's a penalty and a sin bin. And that's clear-cut.
Yeah, that's very clear. But what about the case of, let's say, a fullback and cornerback are just really, really tight to his man. He's very tight to us. The corner forward wins the ball. He has it in his hand and he's rounding him and there's a holding whatever, and it's 50-50. And you know what goes on now in the modern games, you're making runs and checking runs. My concern again would be around the area of, like, is that cynical?
Holding a player is not cynical. It's not a sin bin or yellow card. Holding a player is a free and a noting only. Now, if he holds him inside in the large parallelogram, it's a penalty, but it's not a sin bin. Right.
Okay.
Okay? It has to be a deliberate pull-down, trip, careless use of the hurley, trip with the leg, arm, or hurley. Okay? That's clear. There's only four or five. I can tell you exactly what it is here if you want to know what it is, to clear it up for everyone that's listening.
Yeah, it'd be good.
if any of the following infractions are committed on an attacking player with a goal-scoring opportunity, either inside the 20-meter line or the semi-circle arc, to pull down an opponent, to trip an opponent with the hands, arm, leg, foot, or a hurley, or to use the hurley in a careless manner. That's the rule. That's very clear. Okay? There was a couple of instances last year where players committed cynical fouls. You can go back. I'm not going to name players. I don't talk about players fouling or what they did do. Some players fouled and they were able to foul without giving away a card, yellow or red. Okay? These are clear-cut. This is what the new rule was brought in for, and they're very clear for officials, managers, media, and everyone. It is clear cut. It's very clear cut what they're looking for. And TJ, to go back to what you're saying about, we'll say the full back being tight and corner back, absolutely. That's what a full back job is, to be tight. And the pull of the jersey, we all know that goes on. But this is a deliberate pull down when a player is bearing down on goals. It's a very, very easy decision to make. I can easily tell you the difference between an accidental trip and a fella putting his hurry out to trip him. There's a big, big difference. You have to be able to allow for accidental collisions. It happens in every game. And even if we do allow for that, some fellas will say, oh, he should have given me a yellow card there. And you might come on and say, yeah, he was right, it was an accident. Look, that's everyone's opinion. But I would always side on the side of caution. I'd only be going for a sin bin and yellow card if it's a definite penalty, or any one of them I just read out. Accidental. An accidental trip has to be a free. We know that. It's a free. But it's a free. There's nothing else. Nothing else attributed to it.
But Fergal, I think you mentioned there at the start there that you could give away a penalty in the parallelogram, right, without it being a sin bin.
Correct.
And if you give that player a yellow card for that foul, is that not leading to confusion now, Fergal? Because if I'm the punter on the 70,000, let's look at you flashing a yellow card, you're giving a penalty, but you're not sending to the sin bin. And that's where I thought this separate card may have been a difference, because you've made a clear distinction that you feel it's not cynical, and now you're putting yourself in a position whereby the referee is making the call, no, that's not cynical, but I am giving a yellow card.
Yeah.
I think that does lead to confusion now, Fergal, because you've handed a yellow card and you haven't sin-binned, but you have given the penalty. So I understand about, you know, you're not an extra card, but in that one incident, to me, that is going to lead to a lot of confusion.
The only answer I can give to you on that, Mark, and I'm not coming across as being abrupt.
No, you're
not. It's not my issue or problem if the fella in the stand doesn't know the rules of the game. I would expect Anthony Daly, who's on the Sunday game, or TG Ryan, to know the rules of the GAA. I would expect them. That is, everyone should at least know the rules. I'm not expecting 80,000 people in Croke Park to know why I give a free or why I give a yellow card. And nor do I actually want to be able to tell them. It's not my job. My job is to referee the match between the white lines in Croke Park or Simple Stadium. And that's it. And I'll always explain to the player exactly why he's being carded and what he done. If there was an infraction I was told about from a sideline or a linesman, I tell him exactly why the card has been issued. But I can't legislate for the people in the stand that might know the rules. But I do sympathise with what you're saying about the sin bin and the yellow card and the normal penalty. I agree with you. We have actually spoke about that, but it was agreed that no other card would be used.
Okay. So
there would have been some people feeling that it was maybe bring in the black. Black is in football, at least people are familiar with it. That we could distinguish between our normal yellow card. Because you'll have yellow cards out around the middle of the field now, like a dirty pull or something, and lads be saying, he's after getting a yellow, why didn't he gone off? I don't know, that's not your job. We're not saying that. Like, but I do think that could have been made a little bit clearer for, in fairness, the people that pay going in the turnstiles or to live stream, as we know now, is our way of doing it.
Well, at the time of speaking, Anthony, there's no other card. That's all I can tell you. That. We haven't been told there's any other card, only a sin bin, and that the player will be told it's a sin bin, and that's as far as it goes. And he'll relay the message to the manager or the sideline official. I'll be mic'd up, or whoever's refereeing the game will be mic'd up to the fourth official and linesman, and they'll be able to tell him.
Is there a signal for the sin? I know that sounds a bit mad, but like you can just go, is it?
when you see him walking towards you, TG, you'll know he's gone.
Okay. We went back, wasn't he?
But the big thing, I suppose, and we discussed it the last day, Fergal, was, you know, and we didn't get it right, and it's fantastic to have you on, even for a fella that'll be going on the Sunday game, to clear up a few things in my head. But, like, a fella that catches a fella's jersey, though, and doesn't bring him to ground, and he pulls him back, then there cannot be a sin bin, and let's say you could still give the penalty, but you can't sin bin for that. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. It's only a holding, is only a noting. But if he does it again, if he does it a second time, it's a yellow. Two noting infractions would be yellow. That's the rule, Anthony. That's the rules that we've been handed down. And there's merit in what you're. I know exactly where you're coming from, but unfortunately, the set of rules are as I laid out to you there a few minutes ago, and that's it. You can pull at the jerseys is not a deliberate. It's not in the rules, and that's it.
Like Fergal, and I will compliment you on this now, right? You were mic'd up a couple of years ago at Waterford in the All-Ireland final, and I was at the game live, and I never noticed the amount of talking and your involvement in the game. I thought it was outstanding, to be honest with it. And we played in Dickie Murphy's time, whereby you could never kind of follow with Dickie Murphy. And I'd have to say, you have something similar as well at the moment. But you are very strict and you're very stern, but not over the top, which I think is fantastic from a referee's point of view with the players. And I just want to compliment you on that. I think it's outstanding. But I can see a massive amount of confusion now already. Even and you were talking about, it isn't your concern about the paying punter, but there was three of us on the show a fortnight ago, and between the three of us, we were kind of a bit bamboozled ourselves. And I know that's not your either, but I the amount of work, Fergal,
and Derek,
a referee is, yeah, but the amount of knowledge and rules, and even the second yellow card there for cynical play for two holdings of the jersey, but it's not cynical play, sorry, it's grabbing at the jersey, and that's still not a penalty. You know, I think it's a great tribute.
It is a penalty, but it's not a sin bin.
Yeah.
So it is a penalty, not a sin bin. The level of detail, Fergal, that you have to know, and we've often spoken on the show about taking somebody's jobs off of you in terms of scorekeeping or timekeeping, or even the substitutions or the yellow cards and the red cards. It's a great tribute to you and all your referees, I must say.
Thanks, Mark. But I'll be honest with you. We don't find the referee in a chore, because look, we've obviously a lot of games done, and we came through the ranks. And look, it's just something you get so used to. It's like Anthony playing a match, or TJ or yourself playing a game. You go training 3 nights a week, and you listen to the manager roaring and bawling at you, whatever you do. And it just, look, you just come accustomed to it. And look, we're used to, going back to what you said about the punter in the stand. And look, I train teams myself, and I've been involved in tip teams and all them, and I know what goes into it. And every, the three of you are the same. You've been involved at the highest level for many years with brilliant teams. And I would love for all the punters in the stand, no more than anyone, to really understand what we are going through or what we have to do, right? But in the world we're living in, refereeing, the game has gone so quick. It's gone so intense. The hits are massive, right? These boys are better trained probably than any professionals in the world. Let's be honest about it. Right? These boys are, you can call them animals, you can call them beasts. I mean that in the best sense of the word. Every one of these boys, they're top men, right? And I have enough to be doing, and the referees have enough to be doing, just to make the right split, right decision in that split second moment, right? So anything else that goes on around us in a stadium, whether it is Matt talking about us at halftime, or the examiner on a Monday morning, or know anyone have something to say, or they don't. I'd often go home and listen to someone comment on something that happened, and I'd be saying to myself, he hasn't one clue what he's talking about, not an iota. But do I go on social media and say what I think? No, I don't go on social media. I don't do social media. People can say what they want about me on social media. There's plenty of people that will say bad things about me. Do I worry about it? Water off a duck's back. The very same if Anthony Daly's over a team, he gets flack and clear. Tees, you got it in Limerick. You got it when you're playing with Cork. Do I care? No, absolutely not. No?
I have to say, when I knew the whole country was giving out shit about me, I kind of did care, I have to say.
But that's the point I was trying to make, was I fully understand the pressure referees are under, and I would be in favour of, and I have been saying that there is aspects here that we could take off the referee, right? Like things like keeping score and maybe the time and stuff, right? That's where I was coming from. I feel that this is an extra piece onto a referee. Like you know yourself, right? I and me, because I often, involved with the team, you look back maybe once or twice, right? And you'd see, you'd say, heck, there was a goal on there, we could have gone for it. And you would nearly look back at it a second time in order to see if the goal was on. And I think that this is a pressure on a referee to say, and you know yourself, the attacking team will say, geez, the goal was on.
whereas the defending team will be the opposite. So it's a tight call for me as to say, was there a goal on or not? And I can see it a bit like VAR in the UK. I can see this being a tough one now to call, as you said, in the spur of the moment. Have you any help from upstairs? Have you any help from, I know linesmen and umpires can help you on today. Again, like, is upstairs going to come into play on that? No.
No, absolutely not. And linesmen won't come into play either, really. Like, you know, linesmen can have their opinion, but, you know, in fairness, you know, you're often, you don't want to sound like too hard on linesmen and umpires and things, but, you know, a lot of cooks can spoil a prod too, you know. And look, personally, I'd like to make a decision myself and stick by it, you know. Look, I don't see it being a massive issue. I know what you're saying, TG. You think it's another rule that we have to implement and more pressure on us. But I don't know, is it though? Can you see happening in this year's championship what happened last year with this new rule being brought in? Will players deliberately pull down their opponent now that this rule is in, or will it make the referees, instead of making our life harder? I think it might make our life easier.
It might do, yeah. I think players will be very aware of it. They'll be conscious of it, and they won't want to do it. Certainly in a tight game, Fergal, they'll definitely, like, if you were 5 or 6 points up in the last minute and someone do it, you could say they might, right? But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I was just kind of curious about that goal scoring chance. That's, I suppose, the piece for me.
Yeah, just to finish up on that bit, like, I'm very conscious of, and I'm only one of 35 lads or whatever it is on the panel at the moment, and we're all starting out next week from scratch, trying to get our place on the championship panel in 6 weeks' time. And look, I'm at it long enough to know, and you're around long enough watching games to know, I expect a small few cheating problems in the National League. Absolutely. No doubt. Okay? I'd be talking complete rubbish here today if I said to you there wouldn't be a few issues. But we haven't got together as a referees body yet. That's happening this week, okay? For obvious reasons. So we have 3 rounds of the league, 2 or 3 rounds of the league, then we have a week off, and then we have 2 more rounds of the league. 5 rounds, I think. And we'll probably meet the third week when we're doing after the first two rounds. But I'm very confident by the time that we kick off in June, there'll be 25 or 30 matches played, and we'll have a lot of footage to go over. I'm very confident by the time June comes around, and the championship panel is 9 or 10 or whatever, the new committee who've come in with Oakthorne, Larry McCarthy, it came in with him. When they sit down to pick their panels, to know that we will be in a lot better position. And I think by the time June comes around, both the players and the referees will be a lot clearer on what action will be taken in the championship.
Yeah, I think like we've kind of complained a little bit about not being enough goals and goal scoring chances and great saves. As well as that, so I think where you're coming from is probably right, for that it will stop the cynical defender from making that call. Just to take it back, Fergal, it was a motion that was passed at Congress, right? Now, to bring that to the exact rules, like leaving out the pulling of the jersey, pulling of a hurley, can imagine a corner back falling and he's able to grab a corner forward's hurley. You'd say it's the most cynical thing going, but how did we arrive at this position, Fergal? Or is that something you're aware of? Or just ask you that, like, that I know it was a motion that was passed to Congress, but did that actually bring us to what was in the rule or what wasn't? Or would you have been consulted in that process?
No, we wouldn't have any say in rule changes at all. We know that they'd be upcoming or they're in the pipeline, but to answer your question, had we any say in it? Absolutely not. There was a lot of media. I think the media, it's like anything. Was it media driven? Like there was a lot of talk last year around cynical fouls, whether it is on the Sunday game or even on, if you read the papers, and people are probably on about it. And the powers that be and managers or secretary county board officers think that there was a need for change. Personally, if you ask me, you're asking my opinion, would I have brought it in? No, I'd be a GM, I'd be a hurling man. I'd like to see it. No, like, get on with it, and this, you know what I mean? Like, will it change? Will it? If a team is up 4 points in the All Ireland final and a lad is going through, Will Anthony Daly take one for the team with 30 seconds to go? Absolutely. Guaranteed. It won't change that. It won't change that.
They mightn't even need to go for.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's like circumstances will alter cases. But like, I suppose the big one with the sin bin is that there's going to be no replacement for him, which is, you know, in a game of hurling, it's not like football where you can go across the 21 for 10 minutes there and play a game of basketball. Hurling is end-to-end, and 10 minutes with 14 men is a lot. And look, it's big. It's going to be a big, big change. And look, Anthony, we won't see under the blood and thunder down the home straight in August whether this has a massive impact on games or not.
Just one thing, Mark, before you go on.
We've all
spoken about how hard it is to keep fit and all that at the moment, and sick of shagging Zooms, and everyone says, and be involved with teams, and you're saying we'll do a Zoom, do a table quiz, we're fucking fed up with the whole thing. Is it going to put an extra emphasis on fitness, like, because you're going to call it that it's a penalty, cynical, and 10 minutes off the field? Is it going to put more pressure on refs that way?
It's harder to make a call in the last 10 minutes than it is in the first 10, obviously, you know. But look, we're being well looked after in Dublin at the, obviously by DCU, Niall Mina, and Aidan Brady is with us the whole time. And we're in Dublin Wednesday night for the fitness test for the National League. So we've been tipping away since early January, because we were waiting for the league to start. Obviously, in the January we were getting ready. So, and then we were looking at March. We kind of got a micro head in March. So no, I think. Yeah, the one good thing about the National League, Anthony, is it's going to be played on top of the ground. And I always find, and you know yourself, boys, it's a lot easier to referee a match when the ball is flying A to B than it is in the down in Walsh Park in February, you know, or down in Innes when the bike in a nice tight field, and you know the boys will be getting into you fairly hard and tough, and that's the way it is. But when the ball is flying around the field, lads, lovely game to referee.
You're dealing with three fans of the old National League in the
tight field and the slow field. Yeah. We wouldn't be a favourite of 9 on a Wednesday night, no.
No.
At the start of every National League, you're always looking for something a little bit different, whether it's the hand pass or the hurley to the head or whatever it is. And obviously, this is going to be new now. Is there anything else that, let's say, there's a worry from the referee side?
Well, no, the other big one is the head injury that's after coming into play. That's the referee. The referee can call a head injury now, and he can look for the player to leave the field of play, which I think has been a great move, because you know yourself, like the hits that are, as I said to you earlier on, the size of the men we're dealing with now and the physique of them is different class altogether at the time when we were on senior panels or under 21 or mine or whatever it was 20 years ago. They're just different animals. And the hits, even a shoulder-to-shoulder charge now, a legal one, can rattle every bone in a fella's body, you know. And look, I'm delighted that came in and that they can use a sub, and it's not you. Sorry, I won't say a sub. They can use another player and it won't count as a sub. And if he stays out for the whole match, it still doesn't count as a sub. So, like, we're starting to learn about players' welfare. And even the referees now are, before, like, it was a case of, we'll get up and play on. That day is gone, and I think that's the big, that's a more important rule than the sin bin, to be honest with you, because I think there's a lot of players getting head injuries and concussion that's going undetected.
Yeah, just to confirm, if there's a cynical foul out the field, we'll say out around the 45-yard line, so there was one particular foul last year where a Dublin player was chasing down a Leash player, was it Leash, lads, is it? And he hit him with the hurley across the ankles and tripped him. That's still only a yellow card, Fergal. That's not a sin-binning situation.
No, it's just a yellow card, unless the referee deemed it a strike and he could give him a red. But if it's a trip, it's out there, it's just a yellow.
Okay. And now, so it now just comes down then to the line, so the semicircle and inside the 21-yard line. Where are you now in terms of help, or maybe getting help from technology? And I won't preempt what you're going to tell me, but I have a fair idea, but technology has been a big part of our discussion here, because you know and I know that a penalty awarded, a sin binning of a player, and a foul may look like it's committed outside the semicircle or outside the 21-yard line. Are you going to want to go to technology to confirm what your suspicions are? A bit like Hawkeye, don't take a chance, Les. The technology is there. Let's use it.
I can answer that very straight and honestly. By rule we can't use any technology for. Do you know what I mean? Is all the only tool we have at our disposal is to go to Hawkeye for a pint, even a ball that crosses the goal line. No assistance, unfortunately. Would it be great to have that tool? Absolutely. I'd love to have it. Absolutely. Yeah. I've no problem in saying it. Anything that makes my life easier on a field and get the right decision. I don't want to go home and keep or playing Galway. I won't be doing it. Well, tip Galway and Limerick and I give a penalty that was outside or a sin bin and the man was outside the D. Absolutely not. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely. We'd love to have, but we don't have it. We have umpires and we have linesmen that'll be running alongside us. So I think between the three or four of us, we'd be hoping that we get it right. But as regards technology, that won't be at our disposal, no.
You'll be blown, we'll say, your man is maybe just a step inside the 20 and you'll be saying, lads, was he inside to my linesman, like, and they'll come back, yeah, definitely gone inside by the time he's fouled. So that's how instant it will be, is it?
That's how instant it will be. And plus most of the big venues now, the lines are very, very clear on the field. It's very hard. I know what you're saying, like, would you miss it? It's very hard to miss that, Anthony. It's very clear when a player's inside the 20-metre line, and you get so used to refereeing matches at that level. It's very easy to feel where a lad is on the field. You know what I mean? You know where he is on the field. And that won't be the issue. The issue would be more like TG said of if he's pulled down inside the 20-metre line over near the sideline. That's where the scenario will come in. Yeah. To use your judgment on, is that a goal scoring opportunity? That's where the problem will arise. I think TJ has a point on that one. No, that could be a problem.
Yeah. Will it be there for club, Fergal?
No.
No, we cleared up that as well from the last set.
This has only been trialed in this year's National League and Championship. And then there's another Congress at the end of the year and they'll decide whether this is passed or not. Not for the club in 2021.
That's great. Anyway, we've cleared that up for listeners as well. They probably knew anyway more than we did. But make you think going forward, though, like that, if something is passed the Congress, it would be a great idea to bring in the refs and ask them what they thought would be the best way of working the rule. You know, you have to keep the ethos of the rule, obviously. Do you know, obviously the motion was that maybe refs could put off a cynical foul. Like we mentioned three of them. We're not afraid that it was Danny Sutcliffe. In the Dublin Leash one, we mentioned Adrian Toohey on Shane McAllen, and we mentioned Ronan Maher on Conor Whelan. They were the three just top of our heads. And I could see where the fella at home would say, I'm putting in a motion to the club, but you know, surely going forward, we should involve the top referees in clarifying the rules so there is no confusion.
Yeah, again, we just don't have, we don't be asked, and I suppose we're not officers or we're not on committees in Croke Park, and to be honest about it, I just rather referee the match, Anthony. And if that's the wording of the rule, well then that's my job to implement it to the best of my ability. But like you have a point in what you're saying. Obviously, anyone that's making changes, you should nearly normally ask the people that would be involved. But look, we're not in that position, and we just have to trust the people that are. You know.
Yeah.
I think VAR would be a disaster, and I don't think we need it. I think it's made a ball of the soccer in the UK. It's turning people off watching it. Certainly turning me off watching it. So, but what I'm going to say to Fergal is, I think it's a monumental waste. I have two things to say here, actually. I rarely get to talk to a referee like this, right? Because they're telling me, will you just go out there and shut up, right? So, the two things I'm going to say to you is, I think it's a monumental waste, Fergal, if you're a linesman, right? You can't have an influence on the game, right, to help the referee. I know what you're saying about too many cooks, right, but have two experienced referees on either side of the pitch, right, surely there's something more that could be done there with a referee. That's number one. And number two, right, is the other one that's my bugbear at the moment is the whole steps thing, right? I know you're saying it's 34 or 5 years, right, and I know that maybe some mightn't be part of the curriculum for the referees, but there's a lot of referees getting steps very much wrong for them. You probably can't say anything about them, though, but they're easy.
Yeah, I suppose the first one, the linesman get our ear and tell us that's up to the referee on the day. He can take it on board what he says, like i.e. a red card, yellow card inside the 20-meter line. So yeah, the referee is mic'd up to us, and he can tell us what he sees. And if we are in agreement with him, we'll implement that. On the second one, the steps and the hand pass are issues. I can't disagree with you. The steps are a problem. But there's something that we're going to have to sharpen up on.
Okay. Now, and Fraggle, I'm the complete opposite end of TJ. I'm a big believer in the technology, and I believe that the rugby fraternity have got it right nearly 100% of the time. And what I also see from the rugby as well is the communication between the lines, the umpires, with the referee. They're nearly all on cue all the time, and it's very obvious that they have a very, very good relationship with all the linesmen and the referee. But I'm like, we have technology in the big stadiums. Surely the technology must be brought into it. You're only going to be using it on one or two occasions where you're just unsure. And if your two linesmen have said to you, Fergal, I'm not 100% certain whether he was inside or outside the line, it'll only take 20, 30 seconds to get that right. And as you said, the last thing you want to do is be at home that night watching the Sunday game with your family or going to work, delivering post the following morning at 6 o'clock, and some fella waiting for you to door say, hey, you got that one fairly wrong last night.
Comparing rugby to hurling now, right?
Yeah.
Is not fair.
No. You're comparing the use of technology to get the correct decisions right. And lads, that's an American football. But the referee can make that call. Let the referee go and use technology if there's any bit of doubt.
My guy sent me the email, clubmate of yours, obviously. It was very interesting. He said, you know, you saw it in the rugby the other night. I didn't really see it now, but I was able to Google it or whatever. Like, he was saying about a captain's call or a captain's challenge that each team would have won. And I think, was it Connacht used it the other night to challenge right at the end? Did Ulster get a try? But was there a knock-on or something? I don't know what the rules of the thing even. But it worked for them, and they got it replayed, looked at in the stand, and no try, and they won the game, I think. Was that the gist of it anyway? Yes. But I think that's the gist of his suggestion anyway.
Yes. Basically, the captain has a right to challenge the decision of the referee, and the decision goes upstairs to be viewed on the TV monitor, where the TV referee makes a decision that the referee has made the wrong call. If the captain has been proved to be correct, he continues to hold his captain's call for the rest of the game. If the referee has proved to be right and the captain was wrong, will he can dispute no further decision by the referee for the rest of the game? So that's what the captain's call is about. Or
there's an interesting one. And I know you said it the last day, you're kind of looking at maybe 4 20-minute quarters now if we're keeping the water break in. And Fergal, I suppose, will you miss them where foreign is?
No. Absolutely not.
We're one of the most famous ones at club level here now.
The issue, just going back to Mark's point, the issue I'd have with the captain having his, which is fine. Like, I just think we're playing a different level, a different speed game altogether too. That rubbish in England, soccer and rugby, we're playing at a different speed. Like, you hold up a game there for a minute in a game of hurling. We want intensity in our game, and we've had it all our lives. Don't complicate things. Keep it simple. We're human beings. If we make a mistake, the player will make a mistake. The goalie drop a ball into the net. The fullback will make a mistake. We're GA people. It's part of life. Let's not don't fix something that's not broken.
But Fergal, hold on a while, Fergal. Now, to be fair, right, it is slightly broken on some of the big calls. So go back to Austin Gleeson. And the ball that wasn't behind the post, right? That was Waterford and Tipperary. And there was a goal awarded, and it was clearly shown that Austin Gleeson's hand was outside it. Now, if Waterford won that game, they could possibly have qualified for the championship. That was a big call, Fergal. And I'm only saying, in incidents whereby there might only be one or two, there may be no incident, Fergal. The technology is there, and you've already admitted yourself that you don't want to be at home at night having made the wrong decision, particularly when the technology is there, Fergal. And I agree with you, you know, that we don't want the game held open. But lads, this is a culture. We are changing, we are evolving all of the time. And if the punter coming through the door is paying 70 or 80 quid to go to a match, right, I think he deserves to get the calls right and go back. The most recent one is the semi-final against Kilkenny and Limerick, whereby it was clear and obvious that the defender, the semi-final, the defender blocked the ball. It went out for a, it should have went out for a 65, and it was missed by the umpires. It was missed by the linesman. It was missed by the referee, Fergal, with all due respects. And Limerick were beaten by a point. Am I right in saying that, TJ? Yeah, and that was missed by all the officials that day. So, Fergal, to be fair now, the technology is there and it, it has to be used, Fergal. And it's your friend, Fergal, is what I would be saying. I'd be using the technology.
The technology for the Limerick, the technology for the Waterford tip match, in the, there wouldn't be any technology in the Gaelic grounds to call that.
But, Fergal, we saw it on television. Everybody that was watching the match live could see.
No,
that
what I'm saying to you is in Croke Park, where you have Hawkeye, if the ball crossed the line, they would be able to make a call on it. But inside
the goal
or a normal field, you can't. So you're saying to us, what you're looking for is that you go over to a monitor and judge it for yourself on the day, underneath the stand like a soccer match. That wouldn't work, Mark.
No, what I'm saying, Fergal, is that I think you could see that from the big screen, exactly the same as what's on television, that Austin Gleeson's hand was outside the post, and it was shown on the replay of the television live on the match. The same way as the ball that went wide for the Kilkenny sideline ball against Limerick. It was obvious seeing it on the television that was replayed straight afterwards, Fergal, that it hit the player's hurley and was deflected out for a 65. That should have been picked up, Fergal, on that day.
Could you see, Fergal, that maybe on one occasion, now that was the situation, you'd have a Declan Hannan coming over to you and say, ref, we want to make our challenge on that line ball. That was touched by Killian Buckley. It's a 65 for us. And you just go upstairs. You needn't run over to any monitor. You just say, lads, I have a captain's challenge here. Limerick questioning whether the ball went wide or was touched. Guys have a quick look at it on the replay. I mean, I was in the studio that day, but I wasn't on till that night, I think. But we lads straight away were able to tell me, like, and I was rushing to get into a taxi to get back to RTE, but I said, lads, what was the story? No, it wasn't too clear watching the game down real time, but they were able to tell me straight away, like, before I got out of the RTE box to go back to Donnybrook, that it had come off Buckley's hurley.
Yeah, well, that Kilkenny-Limerick match that Mark brought up is probably a great... It's probably the best... example that you could have brought up, in the fact that it was the last puck of the game, right? Time was up, and there would have been no great stop to the game. You could have had a look at it, but I'm just talking about in general. Okay, I don't know, and I think TG is in agreement on that one. That, like, would you be stopping the match, a GA match, every time? So you're just saying maybe Mark is looking for one. You're just looking for one call, Mark. Is it?
Jesus, Fergal, we want to keep the game moving as much as possible, but when there is a clear and obvious situation, and you'll know straight away if a player is bluffing you or not. You've seen many players down through the years trying to scallywag with you, but you know the genuine fella as well. Like I said, listen, you're wrong there, that's a wrong call.
Well, look, to be honest with you, to answer your question truthfully, any tool that the GA will put into a referee's toolbox, as the fellow says, that'll make my life easier, I'd be all for it. And I would agree with you 100%. If that's what was brought in, I'd be delighted. I'd no problem doing it. But it would only want to be one. It wouldn't want to be because that VAR in England is
that's a disaster. I have no problem with that.
So obviously, if that was brought in and we could use that once in a game. If it got the decision right, yeah, absolutely. All the referees want to get the right decisions for every team and every player.
So, Fergal, we take it like you love it moving, sure we all do. Like, what's your feeling with the water breaks then? Like, and I know you said straight away you didn't miss the Muir Fornes from coming across, making a change, but also probably having a snipe with you underway, as you can imagine.
Yeah, well, personally, water breaks to me, in a normal year, is a no-no. I wouldn't be far going forward like some people are saying, 420s or whatever. Absolutely not. Again, the rhythm of the game, and we've seen it last year alone, how many times it altered big games, like the turnaround after the 17 to 20 minutes, whenever it was. Certain teams were way better at it, and that's been proven by tactics. We've seen that, okay? So, no, I'd love to go back. I'd love the 35 minutes aside. It's brilliant. It's end-to-end stuff. But look, at the moment with COVID the way it is, we all have to row in behind the water breaks, and that's fine. But to answer your question going forward, would I want it? No, absolutely not. I think the 2.35s is a great game of hurling, and it doesn't need to be altered.
I agree anyway with that. But I definitely
think you missed him in a corner, Fergal, surely. Like, I kind of felt there. I felt that sometimes, you know, if we had a poor start to the game and their free count was maybe 8-2 or 8-1 or whatever, like, I go into the rep and say, just, we're hardly that dirty. We are creating all the fouls. Do you know what I mean? I'd feel in that we might get a handy one in the next 2 or 3 minutes, right? So I kind of feel that the Mayor Forna's role would be critical to the game, or certainly at club level.
My answer to that were, if you come in to me, I'd say, you're the one getting the big money. You get it right.
Bye, Fergal. Bye. Fergal, I must say, when Dalo was told us during the week that Joe ran, I went back and I looked at the All-Ireland final last night, right? And my initial reaction last year after the final was that you gave Waterford a hard time, okay? And I'd have to retract everything I said afterwards, because I watched it back last night in the cold light of day, and I must say you gave some performance. You gave a brilliant performance, and you weren't hard in Waterford at all. I got it wrong, I must say. But I thought you gave a fantastic display of refereeing in last year's All-Ireland final. Now, a couple of things from it.
You did cut the out of him the Monday morning.
Well, I just said I thought he was held in Waterford, right? But I must say, but come here, Dale, it's like everything. Sometimes you get it wrong too, like, you know. What was it like to referee the game with no crowd there?
Look, everyone misses the crowd. It's part and parcel of the big day. But it didn't change the way we went about our business, and the fact that we went up to Castleknock to Saturday as normal and as a team, and stayed in Castleknock under the COVID guidelines. And I have to say, Castleknock Hotel were excellent in the way they accommodated us. And the Sunday morning was normal, and in on taxi is the normal way. It was excellent. And obviously, the Joe McDonagh final was on force, like the minor match would have been in a normal year. So everything about the All-Ireland final last year was the same as it was in 17 for me. Except that you missed the crowd. Like you obviously, when you come out into Croke Park on All-Ireland final day, and the three of you have experienced that, you know what it's like, with the hair standing on the back of your head. But like, once the ball is thrown in, whether there's 80,000 people there or there's no one there, you have to be completely zoned in on what you have to do. And if you're not, you'll be soon found out. And look, it was a privilege, obviously. I was lucky in the fact that I refereed the last All-Ireland in September, and I've refereed one now in December. So I don't know, will that happen again? So I was delighted to be appointed to the final, to be honest about it. And look, it wasn't as close as it was in 17. Obviously, Limerick are just phenomenal on the day. Obviously, like they put the boot to the floor in the second half, and it was a great experience to be in the middle of it.
You did miss the little poke in the Leroy that Tom Morrissey gave Aston Gleeson.
Yeah. I missed a lot more than that.
Well,
if that's all you miss, you'll have a good day, believe me.
No.
But Fergal, I thought that the referees last year probably would have been easier for you with no crowd. Do you know what I mean? Let's say the crowd felt that the decision was wrong or whatever, you'd have 25,000 people roaring at you and looking for the next decision. I suppose I would have thought that with no crowd, that it might be more, maybe less kind of pressurized.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if there's new referees coming on the panel, it was a great year to throw them into games. You know, like we had a couple, Dean Gordon was a new ref last year, and he'd done Pip and Limerick, and he'd done Clare and Wexford. You know, that was a great opportunity for new referees, and Sean Stack done Cork and Waterford. And another qualifier, you know. So, yeah, you're right. It was easier. It is easier referee, obviously, with no crowd. And it was an opportunity for new lads. And I think you'll see the same in the coming year. I think you'll see a few new faces on board. And hopefully things will go well from the National League.
Fergal, that's a funny one there. You know, all the talk last year coming up to it. I know it wouldn't bother you from having gotten to know you. All the talk about Liam and yourself, Liam Cahill, having hurled together. That, like, would there be people saying that to you? I know it's a weird year now. We weren't meeting as many, but you would be in your job. But did that occupy any of your few minutes before you went to sleep time?
No, absolutely not. As I said to you earlier on, I don't do social media. You won't find me on any social media platforms. I'm not just coming on here saying that. I don't, obviously, for obvious reasons, being a referee, I don't have an opinion on what Mark Landros thinks or TG thinks or you think, you know what I mean? Look, I had the honour of playing with Liam Cahill at minor, under 21 and senior. And I also was very close to Liam, obviously, when he was the minor manager, 20 manager, 21 manager. I done a lot of we'll say in-house games and went through like I did with you tonight the rules, and myself and Liam would be close in that respect. Since he took over Waterford, I haven't been involved with him in any capacity. Obviously, he's with Waterford and I'm Tipperary. So like, I think in fairness to TJ, someone said to me that you done a podcast and TJ Ryan said that he'd no issue with Fergal Horgan doing the All Ireland final, I was only interested in one person today at the All-Ireland Final, and that was Fergal Horgan. Obviously, I wish Liam Cahill the best of luck. I would know John Kiley as well as I know Liam Cahill, because he's the principal in my neighbouring parish in Tiptown. And I'd know John Kiley as well as I know anyone, Liam Cahill or anyone. So, to answer your question, was I going to go out in All-Ireland Final to help out either John Kiley or Liam Cahill? Absolutely not. I think I'm a lot better person than that. If I make a mistake, I make a mistake genuinely. But as regards going out and not doing the job properly, the All-Ireland Final day is not the day to be doing that.
Oh, that's for look at that. That's just been bandied around by, you know, people putting up pictures of the 2E in an under-21 final team and stuff like that.
But I was privileged. Obviously privileged to play minor 21 and senior with Tipperary. And Michael Beaven was on Din teams too. But look, I went to college too with a lot of lads that went on to play with Limerick and Cork, and I refereed them, and they were managers afterwards. And look, the GAA is, as you know, is a small and tight community, and Anthony Daly won't go anywhere in Ireland, or Mark Landers or TG Ryan with any team that they haven't crossed swords with someone before or been friends. If Anthony Daly's over in the Pier Street tomorrow morning and TG Ryan is over Gary Spillane, I can't see much favours coming from either the two of you or to the man in the middle. So it's every man for himself, lads, on the big day, and I'm sure the three of you more so than anyone appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I think anybody inside the ropes, I think, appreciates all that, whether it's someone going to another county and playing their own county, or somebody refereeing somebody who they know. Like, I think we're always looking for some bit of an angle here and there. The papers will always look for something, some bit of a story. Like, so, but I think inside the ropes, there's a huge respect amongst what you said there, where coaches, players, referees, that everyone is there to do the best job they can for the team they're involved with in that moment.
Fergie, is there any danger of a kind of what we hate from soccer, a danger of a kind of a diving culture creeping in with some of these forwards looking to draw the automatic penalty in the 10 minutes in the bin?
Yeah, absolutely. That will creep in, but we'll stamp that out fairly quickly, I'd imagine. We're not that easily fooled, you know, and a player feigning foul or injury, he's the player that'll be yellow carded. Unfortunately, he can't be sin-binned, obviously, but he will be yellow carded. And that's probably one of the easiest fouls in the game to spot quickly, is the player diving. It's very easily to cop on. And don't worry, I can't see the referees being caught on that one.
Good stuff. That's great. I actually didn't know a fella could dive and he could get a yellow card. So there's more. It's Sunday game. People should be brought on a course, I think, for this starts as well.
Like the one foul, I think, you know, a number of years ago it happened in football, whereby the defender was putting his hand in over the shoulder of the forward, and then the forward was catching his hand and was pulling defender down on top of him. And I think that some of the forwards at the moment are doing something similar, Fergal, because the defender puts in the hurley and the forward is catching the hurley and he's pulling the defender down on top of him. And that's one of the, I think it depends on the referee, Fergal, on the day. How they see that?
There's two different fouls there. Just to clear it up, if you put a hurley in over someone's shoulder, it doesn't matter whether the other player holds his hurley or not. It's still a free. You cannot put the hurley in high. So straight away, that's a foul. Okay. You're saying, well, just say, just for instance, over the shoulder. If you put a hurley in around here,
So coming over, right?
Yeah, it's a free. It's around the neck. It's too high. It's not allowed. The one where you come in around the waist, and that's the one that is the issue, where put the hurley in to flick away the ball and your man puts his hand in underneath you and pulls you down. That's the yellow card to the player that pulls him down. that should be easily catch as well. I think the problem with the other one is that when he puts his hurling over his nick and he pulls him down, the referee will give the free in because it's deemed as a high tackle.
It's a foul in the first instance.
Yeah. Okay. The head has become sacred ground in a hurling match and football, obviously. And it's the one place that there's no discretion on a referee's part. We have to pull them once.
Yeah, no, it's again, I just had the incident with Jack Prendergast and Kane Lynch on the television again last night. In fairness to you, Jack Prendergast had with a kind of a half a hurl, he had caught him across the ear. You gave a foul into a free to Limerick, but you didn't yell a card, Jack, because you obviously made up your mind that it was an accidental collision rather than an intentional shot.
Yeah, there was no intent in it. It was part of play. He went to get the ball. Kane Lynch nipped in front of him. Obviously, Keane is a fabulous, he's very nippy and brilliant hands, and just got there before him. And I use my discretion. They probably say I could have yellow carded him. If I give him a yellow card, I would have been correct because he got him to the side of the ear. But I felt on the day it was a complete accident from Jack Prendergast. So I wasn't going to book him
I would say that's the number one referee in this country speaking here now, right? Whereas I think if you had, we'll say like the Liam Gardens, I'm sorry for bringing up their names, but a younger referee or a more inexperienced referee might have played that one by the book and given him the yellow card.
Yeah, well, obviously, that comes with experience. And, you know, when you're an Ireland final done and you get a second or third, like James Owens would have three finals done and I have two finals done. And we're the only two referees at the moment on the panel that has all Ireland finals refereed. And look, it's like playing on All Irelands and winning All Irelands. You have to use your discretion with these things. And look, you can get carried away too. And look, the Liam Gardens and these lads, they'll get their day. They'll get their chance. And I was there in 15, 16, same way. Like you go by the book. And on All Ireland final day, you have to be sharp, and you have to be able to make split decisions. As I said to you, it's all about feel for the game. And look, I played the game myself, and I know when if a fella turns and he pulls across a fella, it's an easy decision. Like, but the Jack Prendergast, I guess, one on Kane Lynch was just complete speed of thought from Kane Lynch. And
yeah,
why was I going to give a yellow card just to tick off something on a list? Yeah, it's not for me. My opinion on it is if they want me to referee, if I'm picked to referee the match, I'll referee the game. And you know, I'll give it my best shot, and if the day that's not good enough, I'll be left on the sideline, and I can't do anything about that.
For international rugby, the referee will take, let's say, an email from each camp, I think up to 5 or 6 days before the big game or whatever, right? So, let's say, if I was playing Landers, he always holds the hurley from behind, goes down daily, comes out, pulls the jersey, goes down looking for the handy free. Like, can you see a situation like this maybe before championship games where each manager will be able to get a little bit of his chest, so at least he's telling the referee to look out for this. But it's happening both sides, right? Is this something that could happen?
That's in that what the Mayor Forney used to do.
Yeah, more or less. That's what I'm saying. Now the Mayor Forney is gone. Like you know yourself, the amount of analysis going on in each camp now is at a level that hasn't been there before. It's off the charts. They will spot things that are certainly constant. So they'll see a cornerback or a set that he always does this and he's getting away with it. So if the manager tells you on the Monday, I'm just wondering, would it be good for the game? Now, he also has the other manager doing the same for, let's say, for Limerick or whatever. So I'm just wondering, would that bring about improvement?
Yeah, so to be an option, but like the cornerback that the other manager has highlighted, all the referees would know who he is too. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't need TG Ryan or Anthony Daly to tell me that Fergal Horgan is holding the corner forward every day he goes out. Like we're being educated every week too on matches that have been played last week and the week before and the matches were coming up to referee. So like we know what's going on the ground. It's very same as the manager and the players do. They mightn't realise that, but we're getting as much education as they are. There's no stone left unturned in Croke Park with the resources that we have at our disposal. So we're not going into any match blind, as we're not going into any match looking for anyone in particular or any hassle. We want to referee the game without any issues if at all possible. But we know what we're looking out for. We know what's going on. And like Mark said, watch the player pulling down. We know if there's a certain player doing that. And we're well honed into that.
Right, yeah. One of the things I will miss, Fergal, about the crowd being back in is being up on the TV gantry and being able to shout down before the All-Ireland final, "Don't make a balls of it, Fergal."
You done that this year, sir. You done that last year anyway. You still done it.
But it would have no effect if there was a crowd there. Like.
Yeah. Don't we all wait for the day that there will be 80,000 at a match again? Please God, sometime soon.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We won't have it this year, but we will. We'll have it back, you know.
Yeah, Fergal, the one thing that comes up a fair bit is that some decisions, you would always say, oh, the ref, somebody must have had a word in his ear from upstairs. So there's one decision that comes to mind straight away is Tipperary were playing with Brian Hogan. The goalkeeper's hand went behind the crossbar. And the ball was pucked out. There was a free awarded. The free was taken. There was a point awarded to Tipperary. And then at that stage, I suppose it must have been Hawkeye, must have called it that the ball was over the post. And the point was taken away from Tipperary and was added and went back for a puck out. So can you go through, was that Hawkeye that made that decision that day? And the other question is, you, the referee, mic'd up upstairs during the course of the game?
Yeah, so to clarify the Hawkeye situation, the Hawkeye one baffles me as regards watching the match when I come home or what the pundits, like, I'm very surprised that lads that are commentating on matches actually don't know exactly what's going on. And it's there now since 2013. And I suppose I had the unlucky job the same day when the Hawkeye broke down in the minor semi-final where young Barry
Limerick
Barry
is
Nash, yeah. Barry Nash, yeah. We gave a pint and it was disallowed because the Hawkeye was set for the football settings on the same day. But what happens is it's very simple is that the Hawkeye is in the dressing room for us when we arrive at the match. The four umpires are mic'd up and the referee is mic'd up, the two linesmen and the fourth official, and the Hawkeye official who's in the Hawkeye boot, which normally in hurling at the moment would be Willie Barrett or Dickie Murphy, two former referees. So the Hawkeye protocol is very straightforward in the fact there's two options. Option one is if the umpire is unsure that the ball has not gone between the posts, he can automatically not go for a wide ball or a pint. He'll make the Hawkeye signal, which is a square, like a square television. In the instance that he waved the wide or he gave a point, and either decision was incorrect, Hawkeye will inform us, i.e. Willie Barrett or Dickie Murphy, within 7 seconds, if that decision is incorrect. If that decision is incorrect, then it's wide or a point, and it'll be waved wide if it's wide or a point. If it's a point, you'll get a point. But if Hawkeye comes in and the umpire has made a decision, you automatically know that the umpire's decision is wrong. Because Hawkeye won't intervene. You won't hear from Hawkeye at all unless the umpire has got the decision wrong. So you'll often hear people on television saying, "Geez, that looked tight. Why didn't he go for Hawkeye?" Well, that's the answer for you. That's the nuts and bolts of it. He didn't go for Hawkeye. Because the umpire is correct, it's a point. If you're wondering why on television, why it's not, that is the reason. It's quite simple. If the umpire gave a point and it looked wide, it was a point. Hawkeye will only intervene if the umpire is incorrect.
And in the situation with the Brian Hogan incident, you mentioned the 7 seconds there. There was obviously something, it was either Dickie Murphy or Willie Barrett obviously wasn't in the boot that day because it took about a minute and a half to get the decision to... That day. Was there any particular reason behind that, Fergal?
No, I think if you go back to the game that you're on about, it was the semi-final. Was it Tip and Wexford, was it?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
That's the game, Anthony.
Yeah, that's the game, I think.
Yeah, I think what happened that day was that Brian Hogan caught the ball and just poked down underneath the Hogan stand.
Yeah.
And I think a Tip player caught it and was fouled around the neck. Okay.
Yeah.
And the referee went over to speak to the Wexford man, could he give a yellow card, but he gave him a speaking to. And I think he got lost. He got caught up in the fact that he was, after giving the free, and he was talking to the player. And if you go back to the match, the free was taken quickly. And it went in. And Tip actually didn't get a point. Tip got a goal in that game. Sorry. Not a point. So it was a 4-point turnaround. So it wasn't, that wasn't the Hawkeye issue, as the as fact that that it was relayed slow. I just think a lot of things happened in that 10 seconds. And that's what happened on that day. And with full capacity, you know, they are supporters roaring them. And that was a very, very intense game. If you think back to it, but no, Dickie and Willie, in fairness, they have to go back and review it on to make sure it's right. See, that ball didn't actually hit the ground, it just went over the crossbar, hand behind the crossbar, and brought back in. So, you know, it's not as
that's a fantastic explanation as to why Hawkeye does come in. So it's basically, if the umpire gets the decision wrong, Hawkeye intervenes. But the clarification of the length of time that it takes for it to be corrected is fantastic as well, because that now then proves my point on the technology, that the lads in the booth can be your friend any day. So if you get 20 seconds or 30 seconds, and I don't think the paying punter minds waiting for 20 seconds to get a decision right, and you as a referee or the linesman or the umpires who are amateurs and are not paid and have got to go to work on a Monday morning, the last thing you want is to get a decision incorrect. Are your linesmen or your umpires, for that matter? I think it takes a lot of pressure off those guys. And I definitely think technology, with the speed of what you've clarified, how a decision is made, has to be brought forward.
Yeah, the only time that Hawkeye becomes an issue, even from a punter point of view, or Anthony commentating on a match or whatever the case may be, is the Brian Hogan situation, okay? I.e. where a player brings the ball back from over the crossbar. Normally the ball would hit the net or go wide, right? Then there becomes loads of time to get for Hawkeye to work properly. Do you know what I'm saying? The 7 seconds.
Yeah.
But if the ball is brought down from over the crossbar, it hasn't gone dead. And the game, 7 seconds is a lot in the game of hurling. The ball could be in the net at the other end, no problem. And that's where the problem arose that day, that the ball didn't go dead, that it was brought back from over the crossbar. And that's the only time that the time could come into question.
It's a big help, Fergal, when from now on anyway, when you'll be doing co-commentating and a point is given, and I'm saying I'm surprised it didn't go to Hawkeye for that one. It was very tight. That's because it is a point, and the umpire's decision is correct. We know going forward. I know when they're going forward. Finding out a lot this evening, lads.
But also, Anthony, the fact that the goal was disallowed and the point was awarded to Wexford does prove that the public want the correct decision made, and the players and the team and the officials want the correct decision made. You had no ambiguity afterwards. Everybody understood straight away that Brian Hogan had brought the ball back from behind the posts, and there was no complaints from anybody.
I say, at the same time, it was a good thing the Tip won the match. Mark, do you know, like, they got a goal wiped off and Wexford got a point awarded. Like, no, Tip won.
That's
the
right,
match.
Yeah, but like,
well, I don't think you could have any issues with the referee on that one. I think the referee, that was 100% correct. If the ball is over the bear, I'm a Tip man, and it was a Tip ball that was disallowed. But the referee and the Hawkeye got the right decision that day. It was a point.
Correct.
No point in saying if Tip hadn't won the match. That incident was 100% correct on the day. That one was correct. And that's the way it should be. That's what we want, that
correct.
The right team gets the right decision.
I know. I can just imagine being in RTE, lads, and one of the things is the amount of emails in and the amount of messages in, complaining and what, you know, most of the time it's the same people probably complain every Sunday. But on that one, I remember thinking to myself at that time that I was on the panel, I think, that day, that that's just as well Tipper after winning this, because there would have been a fair bit. But I have no issue that the correct decision was made.
Go back to the Leinster football final a number of years ago, Meath and Louth, whereby Joey Sheridan threw the ball over the line and a goal was awarded to Meath. Like, like, if you're a loud player or a loud supporter or the loud management team that day, you're fairly sick to this day that you had a Leinster football medal in your back pocket. A lot of players were denied a medal that day because the decision was incorrect. The player threw the ball into the net.
Again, you're back to the same scenario as 65 for Limerick. You know, if we'd stopped it, a captain's challenge, and he'd say he threw it in, so free out. And we're back to that. I would be inclined to agree with you. One challenge, we should think about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even give him a second one if he was proven right.
How many of them big decisions have we come across in the last 20 years?
Half a dozen, that's all.
Yeah.
You're saying to me we're getting 99.9% of it right,
I think the referees are doing an unbelievable job. But I do, like, the obvious ones are the Austin Gleeson ball that wasn't a goal, the Joey Sheridan one, you know, that should have been corrected. But that was a high stakes match because Loud are never going to get back that opportunity, Fergal, like, and
absolutely,
that'll haunt them for the rest of their lives in that situation. And I think, in fairness,
the man that refereed that match, unfortunately, like, he didn't. That was the end of it for, you know.
He rushed in, and more or less kind of said to his umpire, "Is it a goal or not?" He said, "Yes." He put up the flag, but if he got the opportunity to step back a second and say, "Right, lads, I want to go to Hawkeye for that decision," because it was quite obvious with the Loud players, the way they congregated around it, that they knew that your man had thrown the ball over the line.
Hawkeye was not even in use that time. That was 2000.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
We can't use Hawkeye anyway for any match decisions. It's just not allowed. So.
Yeah. And then, Mac, I'd be careful what you wish for. I don't think there has been any addition to the UK. No. I think it's ruined the game. I think we have the greatest and fastest, right? And you have to remember in hurling, right, we're probably heading for potentially north of 60 scores per game, right, which is going to be literally impossible to manage from a technology point of view. Check every single one. 7, 8, 10 seconds takes the buzz out of the game. And I'm forecasting here, right, the 2021, I think we could potentially be in for the best Munster Championship ever. I genuinely think that. I'll tell you my reasons why, right? I think the players have had the 3-4 months off where they've got all their body to get fully rehabbed, fully prepped, get their S&C on, right? I think the managers have the perfect scenario. Yeah, it's only a 3-week lead into the National League, right? But they have all their players. There's no sideshow, no Fitzgibbon Cup, no club is pulling off from no nothing. They're the perfect. I do think the league will be a little boxing because they'll be trying to get their first 20, 21, 22 players. But I think every team will be spot on for championship. I think it'll be the fastest and best yet.
And we've had the draws now, lads, all during the week, obviously. Anything stand out? I suppose obviously Limerick and Cork is the tide around, Fergal, isn't it? You'll probably be doing that.
Well, normally, first of all, let's get on the panel. That's not just because you won the All-Ireland last year doesn't give you, unfortunately, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge. But look, normally the Munster referees would be sent to Leinster normally, and we'd end up there. But look, I'd just be delighted to do any game, but obviously Cork and Limerick would be. And you know, I suppose it's going back to my own days playing and things, like, the one team you always fear, even when you're going bad or presumably going bad. Go back to 19, Cork came into the Gaelic Browns and they gave a lesson, like, they whipped Limerick off the field. And I would be, you know, I'm sure John Kiely will have him ready, but I just have a sneaky feeling for Cork.
Yeah, it was the one when they drew it out, I kind of gasped with, like, a clear got one for Brian Lohan can't complain about that because they beat him in the quarterfinal last year to be a chance for them to go back at them.
Yeah.
And it was putting clear people talking hurling again, thank God. And then the winners make me tip and everyone is wondering what tip will be like Champions 19 and what will they come out like. But lads, what was the feeling on the ground in both Cork and in Limerick on the draw?
Cork is it's the hardest draw they could possibly get. Like, as TJ had said, you're playing the league, the Munster and the All-Ireland champions. What a fucking disaster, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's the toughest draw we could have expected. Like, you know, I think Cork will be on the back foot, like, they'll be raging outsiders for the game. And I suppose with the big turnaround in players as well this year, there'll probably be a lot of question marks as to what the starting 15 will be. The likes of, you know, the Anthony Nashes, the Christopher Joyces, the Aidan Walshes, the Conor Lehan's gone. So who will Kier Kingston be replacing them with? You know, but I mean, we have a reasonably good record against Limerick, and you'll be hoping there's a bit of youth, I suppose, and a bit of enthusiasm. It's unlikely that we'll catch Limerick off guard, I would say, because we've had a good record against them. But it's the toughest draw possible, I suppose, from a Cork point of view, meeting the All-Ireland final. Yes.
And TJ, is there much trepidation around Shannon's side, like with Don O'Grady gone in as a kind of a defensive master coach now as well, and that being seen as their Achilles heel? But it's true, what I thought straight away when it came out was Cork have caused Limerick bother, like.
Yeah, I have to say, Dello, I thought the draw was good for all teams. I even see Landers there. There's a little bit of a smirk there. Like, there's no doubt about it, they will be gunning for this. They have all the time in the world to prepare for this. The other thing that stands out for me is we have a potential Liam versus Liam in the other semi-final, which would kind of really kind of draw the attention. Yeah. So it would be like there was talk of Liam Kyle taking over Tip. Sheedy's there. So that'll be some semi-final. I think, like, there hasn't been three, like, Limerick going for three in a row. There hasn't been three in a row done in Munster since the team of the late 80s, which is hard to believe, actually. When I went just searching for that, it hasn't been done in north of 30 years. So it is a big ask. Limerick are entitled to be favourites, what they've shown over the last number of years. But like, our reference Cork is there for everyone to see. So definitely Cork won't be fearing as much as maybe some other teams. But I go back to what I was saying, Dello. I think we could be in for one of the best championships. I think there'll be no excuses. I think that the players are there. You have full availability. Last year, there was coming off either short or long club campaigns. Even in Tip's scenario there, yeah, where there was football and playing hurling with the McGraths, with a Wexford scenario where they played the hurling championship first. I think if you ask any of the inter-county managers, aside from potentially a short 3 week into the league, that'll be fine, because I think the league, without the way the league is structured this year, I don't think it'll be a major factor for any managers. But I think this is perfect. I think they'll all be very, very happy with this. And I think they'll have all their houses in order. And I think we're going to see the best of every team.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'd agree with TJ that I think there's something in everything, in the draw. Every team has got a bit out of it. I think Tip of the team that'll probably profit the most out of it, Anthony. They were jaded last year, as far as I was concerned. I didn't think they had the enthusiasm that they had the year previous. And I think there could be a dark horse for the championship this year.
Yeah, I think people will say, though, maybe that not enough of Liam Cahill's young lads, if you like, have been put and will the legs still be there then on a roasting hot July day, maybe, for some of the older brigade? But look, I've no doubt you've no better cooks to make the meal anyway in Liam Sheedy and Tommy Dunn, etc. And Fergal, what would the feeling, I presume you'd be addressing the Tipperary players about the rules a bit like you were us, or somebody will anyway in these couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, I don't have any contact with believe it or not with Tip seniors really since Liam took over. I think I've done one match for 21s until 21 manager. They're fairly sharp, I'd say, themselves. Like, as you said, they have someone involved in every scenario now, and I'm sure there's someone. Look, I might be called in the next week or two, I don't know. But I know there's a lot of that 2021 team that you were talking about there. There's 10 or 12 of them gone in over the winter doing training, we'll say, doing their own programs on individual basis. And look, we need them. You think TJ hit the nail on the head there. The one thing I'll say about last year, and TJ noted there, is that we had a phenomenal Tip Championship last year. All the big guns got to the knockout stages, right? John McGrath and Noel McGrath were phenomenal for their clubs in both hurling and football, you know. And they're real ambassadors. They really show how club players should perform for their clubs. And I can certainly tell you, not every club player performs the way they do for their clubs. And John McGrath, I'd say, by the time Tip team came around, he wasn't able to wag, like, and they lost the two county finals as well, and lost the hurling in very dramatic circumstances. I'd say that they took a lot out of him, but John McGrath is a serious tool, as you know, on his day, and we didn't see any of that last year. And I just think I wouldn't write off Tip at all in the coming year. I think Paddy's and the Brendans, like Taurus, were knocked out early. Boris Lee were gone early. And TG said it even about Limerick. They were off for the 3 or 4 months and they'll give them a big lift. The Paddy and the boys are on the go since 09, which is 13 seasons, like, when you add it up. And it's a long, long time. And Paddy probably won 7 or 8 county titles and got to December Munster club finals in every year. So I think I fancy Tip to get to the Munster final. That side of the draw, I think they'll come through there. And anything can happen from there on, as you know, like Munster final, if they lose even, they're still in it. So I think Tip will have a big say in the championship in 2021.
Yeah, well said, lads. And so much, even the Leinster draw, fascinating as well. With I know, like, Wexford will have to beat Laois and the Dubs will have to beat Antrim, which could be a bit of recent history to that one, which I'm not proud of. But you could have an unbelievable Kilkenny-Wexford semi-final there in the Offaly, and as ever before, you know, I mean, possibly a Dublin-Galway one as well. And look, it's great. I think there was a bit, you're right, TJ, I think you said it from the get-go, it was a bit for everybody in it, and we can really look forward to it. And again, lads, you know, Saturday week, I think, kicking off, I think, with Limerick and Tip, and with Cork and Waterford in the National League. So it's great stuff, great to look forward to. Fergal, we want to thank you most sincerely for coming on with us, being absolutely brilliant, cleared up a whole pile of stuff, I think, for our listeners as well, which is the huge thing. We might have picked some stuff up coming up to the championship, but I think our listeners will be delighted to get the, you know, the refs thinking on it, and you know, I think we asked the relevant questions as well that maybe the ordinary punter out there would be thinking. So thanks a million, Fergal, and we hope you make the panel. Fairly sure you will. You're looking fit there anyway, only down the Zoom lens now is all I can say. But thanks so much for coming on with us. And lads, we'll talk to you all soon. The one last thing is, McLanders, get your fantasy team in. Larry is going to have the code up, lads, for our listeners league. So yeah, it's gathering great momentum now everywhere. I think we broke the mold, I think, with the fantasy hurling. There's loads of different crowds setting up mini leagues now, like, so. But Mark,
is this the fantasy? Is this for the championship now or for the league? Are we getting a trial run in the league?
Yeah, no, but it is in the league as well. Like, there's two fantasy hurlings for the year, so.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I advise you going on last year's performance to enter the league one anyway.
TG's pick will be easy. He'll be picking 15 Limerick lads, won't you, TG?
He can't. He can only pick two.
I can only pick two. So
yeah. And they'll be born.
League only now is challenging because I think there's going to be a bit of shadow boxing here. So you could pick a player here, and he mightn't get a huge amount of game time because maybe John Kiely will know. He's fine. He will be playing in the championship. I need to find out who's going to be playing if something's wrong with him. So you're going to get a lot of that in a lot of counties, Mark. So when you're putting your thought process together, Mark, or your selectors together, just make sure to remember it is the league, right? And that you're aware of all the rules.
Yeah, well, the same challenge would be there, TJ, to suss out who would like to win a league. At this stage.
I think, Les, you're reading the league completely wrong. I think the fact there's no quarter-final, semi-final and final this year, I think you'll see the best team out in all rounds. I think John Kiely will go all guns out, Liam Sheedy, to win the league. If you win your 4 games or whatever, like, your league champions this year, unless you meet in the championship later on, like Clare and Limerick did last year. I don't see much shadow boxing. The championship is starting 2 weeks after that, TJ. You know, unless you know something, maybe you know the inside line on, he's your club mate and all that, but I don't think John Kiely will hand over the league cup to hand it to anyone.
Is there no relegation this year?
No, there is. The bottom two playoff, I think, at some stage in the year. It might even be later. And I think the promotion game is actually going to be played before an All-Ireland semi-final or something. The league promotion game.
Oh, yeah, there's something about, there's something happening, I guess.
Yeah. So, lads, thanks a million. Just to mention, Butler Hurleys are coming in with the prizes again. Initially, I presume we'll have a few more people as well for the our fantasy league for the Examiner listeners. So again, thanks to everybody for listening, lads. I hope you have a great week. And thanks, Fergal, again for joining us and putting us clear on a few things. No harm every so often. Cheers, lads.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Fergal.
Keep safe.
A grain of rice. A grain of rice. going to tip the scale. Just remember that, then.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what's the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.